today on Real Radio.
Listen, we can't have it both ways. Which one is it? Is man inherently good? Someone will argue. Or does man perform bad or evil and there's a need for redemption?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called, Who Told You That You Were Good?, continues in a series called, Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and our past experiences, of course. But how do these beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. Is man basically good or inherently evil? The Bible tells us that only God is good. And if mankind is basically good, why is there an attempt to redeem ourselves when we do wrong or excuse ourselves from blame by covering it up? Adam and Eve were God's expression of Himself to His created world, but when they ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge, they sinned against God. And since then, we've all fallen short of His glory. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God, out of His love for us, wants to redeem us when we ask for forgiveness. That's why redemption is the most prominent theme of the Bible. Our desire to be restored comes from a source of awareness that we are, by nature, unable to be good. And now, in his lesson called, Who Told You That You Were Good?, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And now we pick up the second topic, and by God's grace, it'll only be this Sunday teaching on it, I pray, but it's a volatile one. I'm going to warn you right now. It's one that's going to raise eyebrows because it's offensive. It's offensive, and yet we can't ignore it. We can't dance around it. We got to go for it. And that's why it's number two on our list. Who told you that you were good? Well, my husband just told me this morning. Well, I understand that, and that's not the kind of good I'm talking about, though, but who told you that you were good? It's a tremendous question, and it's one that is filled with a great amount of speculation and confusion, because when it comes to good or goodness, every one of us have a definition of what that means. But generally speaking, we have to address this as a church, and if it goes beyond these walls, then so be it. But who told you, who told me that I was good or that you were good? Where do we get that thinking from? And why is it a fact in human anthropology, the study of man, that in every culture of the world, on every continent, no matter what the religion may be that's practiced, there are two things that people are debating, that they are inherently good and or that there needs to be a sense of redemption. I want to pause for effect. Think about that for a second. All around the world, in every culture and on every continent, whatever religion or religions that are practiced, there is the argument from the individual or from the culture that they are inherently good, or over here, that there is a need for an act of redemption. That need for the act of redemption actually confesses and admits that man is not always good. Are you tracking with me? You and I live in a culture which, indulge me for a moment, please. You and I live in a culture that now the prevailing voice in America today is, you can eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. What's that based on? We're raising our children in the public school system that they are nothing but a byproduct of an evolutionary experiment. They are, in fact, high-level animals. But when our kids act like animals, we rebuke them. We chastise them, don't we? Or when somebody picks up a gun and starts shooting people, we ask ourselves, how can this happen? When all the while we've raised them as animals. We mentioned this on Wednesday night a little bit. Listen, we can't have it both ways. Which one is it? Is man inherently good? Someone will argue. Or does man perform bad or evil and there's a need for redemption? We either teach people that man is a highly advanced animal. We can't expect anything out of him. If he shoots people up, he's just an animal. But then we turn right around on the news and we condemn such actions, or the society scolds the person who perpetrated the crime. I'm not justifying the crime. I'm saying our culture is absolutely inverted. Because if we tell people they're animals, then we can't expect anything out of them but animalistic conduct. Are you with me? But the moment somebody acts bad, we're disillusioned because they weren't acting divine. The truth of the matter is, we have got a contradiction in our world, and it even resides within our hearts. We convince or we think that we of ourselves are in basic form good. But then we have this profound need within each and every one of us to somehow to make amends, to somehow to ask for forgiveness or to find some form of redemption. Something's wrong, or maybe something is exactly correct and we need to address it right. So when we consider this doctrinal challenge regarding man, is man inherently good or is man inherently evil? Which one is it according to the Bible? Well, again, we're asking the question, who told you that you were good? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Listen carefully, because all of it is right here in this portion of Scripture. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said, by the way, notice how many times said is being said. He, the serpent, Satan's possessing it, the serpent, said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that, there's three sins, saw that the tree was good for food, number two, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and three, desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? And that portion of Scripture is just about every bit of doctrine that you need to unpack the need of man to have redemption. Notice in this portion that we just read, there's false doctrine in there, isn't there? Satan contradicts God's word. There's the justification of self. There's desire of self-gratification. Eve saw these three aspects of what the lie could bring to her. Oh, I want this now. Oh, I'd love to have this. I've got to be like this. And notice the doctrine that Satan introduces into mankind like an evil injection. Just do this and you'll be like who? God. Any religion telling you that you can become a god has its root in the Garden of Eden from the old forked tongue himself. Think of that. But right there is the genesis of this thing about being good. You say, well, Jack, where is that? How do I see that about being good? Well, first of all, before we dive into this, understand something that universally humans work hard at either projecting themselves to be good or convincing themselves that they're good. It's part of our human defense. Church, listen, there's going to be something to offend everyone in this sanctuary today in this message. You can handle it. Just think for a moment. There is this tremendous, almost we would say, puritanical thing that drives us to make people think that we're good. We take pride in being viewed as good. But did you know that the term or the concept of good Up until recent years, good was always reserved to describe God. Did you know that? The Old Testament doesn't call any man good by nature. The word good is implying nature. That's why the Bible says there's only one good, and that is who? God. God is good in nature. The word good actually means pure, it means untainted, it means perfect, and there is no human, according to the true definition of the origin of the word good, that mates or matches that word. It's impossible for us. You say, Jack, that really offends me. But just hang on for a second. I love you, and maybe you love me, but we're not good. We're not good because we have ill motives. We're not good because we have perspectives, we have views, we have desires, we have things that I would extract from you to gratify me, that you would extract from me to gratify you. We don't want to admit that, but it's just us right here today. I'm telling you, that's how you are, and that's how I am. And as Christians, we fight that now. We have woken up to that fight, and we fight that. But there's an argument that is to be made, and I want you to think now, because maybe there's one person in here today, and I hope I'm addressing that one person, that today you're sitting and you're saying, I don't agree with that. Well, then you will at least agree with science. When we study the cultures of the world, we do have, on every continent, in every culture, man's attempt to be good in his culture. He's got standards. I'm blanket statement for all of the cultures. They've got a little 5x7 card. They've got a little box they check. Or maybe in the Amazon, it's a little banana leaf and they check it. I'm doing my thing. Look, honey, I took out the trash. I did this. It was the rite of passage. I accomplished that. And now you're labeled good. You get a feather in your wardrobe and you are now something. There's this gold standard to perform. We all know it. But if man can be good by his efforts, then how is it that the very same exact cultures have an opportunity for either atonement or redemption for when you're not good? See, the Bible teaches that man has fallen. The Bible teaches that we've all inherited sin from our original father. And the fact of the matter is that truth in the Bible shows us that we are unable to do good according to the standard of God. Now, before you freak out, let me say that there's a lot of good that humanity performs. I'm not discounting that. In fact, I believe it proves the point. The Bible tells us, we'll hear it over and over again today, the Bible tells us that humans were created in the image of God and his moral likeness. So today, even in the 21st century, how is it that man, if he's bad, builds hospitals, does benevolent works, designs things, helps people alleviate pain and suffering? Are these not good things, church? These are great things. The Bible says those things come from man, even fallen man, having been created in the image of God. The good comes not from us, but from God. We sit in judgment of what is good and what is not good. How do we know that? Because again, the Bible says in the moral likeness of God, we've been created. There's a rudder within us that distinguishes what's right and what's wrong. So when somebody says, listen, and here's the thrust to the message today, I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need God. I'm good. Based on whose standard? I'll submit to you today that even if that's you, your own standard condemns you. Because if you're honest with yourself, you're not always good. When you're not always good, what do you do to make atonement for yourself? Those of us who are Christians today, we've come to realize it wasn't always easy and it wasn't painless. We came to the conclusion that we cannot make atonement for ourselves, that we are in grave trouble until we come to Christ. And so I understand this message is not going to swell the ranks of church population. It could do the exact opposite. But we just might be a healthier church for it. We begin with this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, true or false, you judge. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. True or false? You might say true. Somebody next to you might say false. That we've all sinned. And immediately it opens up to the door to the fact that man, according to the Bible, is created a body. That's obvious. Look at your body. a soul, that's your mind, and a spirit, that's the part of you that lives forever. And the Bible says regarding all of us as humans, listen, Jesus said born again, the word term born again. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven because we must be born a second time. The Bible announces to us that every human being prior to being born again is spiritually dead. And we'll look at this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but out of the tree or of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in, what does it say? The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now listen, did Adam and Eve drop dead the day that they bit the fruit? No. Oh, there's a mistake in the Bible. Oh, no contraire. No, the fact of the matter is, listen, the moment, the Bible here teaches, the moment Adam and Eve bit the fruit, they died. What died? Their spirit life died. And listen, from Adam and Eve on, humans have been born spiritually dead. We've got to be awakened. But listen, we may pride ourselves on not even being spiritual. I'm a man of the world. I don't get into that silly stuff. I avoid religion. I'm my own man. I make myself. But wait a minute. Isn't it interesting that inside of you, down deep inside of you, there is the questions, there are the doubts, there are the wonderings regarding the spiritual life and issues of the spirit that cannot be addressed by the flesh. So number one, church, who told you that you were good? Number one, when we're not so good. We are not so good, so says the Ten Commandments. God gives the Ten Commandments to not only show us his righteousness, but to show us our sinfulness. So the first thing that we see is that we're not so good, even according to our own assessment. The first thing we want to do is, who are we in this world? I think that's a good place to start. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Meaning that who are we in this world? Number one, we are the only created beings, according to God's creation, that have his moral likeness. Angels do not have it. Monkeys don't have it. Animal world doesn't have it. Nobody's got it but the human. That God has created you, who can hear me now, with a moral imagery that reflects that of God. It doesn't mean that God is 6 feet tall. It doesn't mean that God has five fingers on each hand. That's not what he means. It's a moral likeness. The likeness is that we have passion and desire and emotional ability that God has that other creations don't have. We can create, we can imagine, we can write a song, we can engineer, we can develop. Listen, we can love, we can hate, we can express. And in that comes, of course, true love, true relationship, true worship. But in a fallen state, there's also the great and gross negatives. How great can man be? Great! Apart from the fall, but after the fall, how dangerous can man be? Very dangerous. So who are we in this world? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, boy, don't you wish everything would have ended right at this period? Genesis 2, 15, then the Lord God took the man, that is Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it, period. Oh, don't you wish we could roll back the hands of time? Can you imagine? You say, how was that supposed to be? I don't know, but God thought it was awesome in perfection to put Adam in a garden and to take care of it. It must have been amazing. I don't know if you like gardening or not. It's irrelevant, I guess. If you were back there with Adam and the fall never would have happened, we would have loved it. What was it like? God said, here you are. You live in perfection. You're just like me in moral agency, and you're going to love gardening. There you go, Adam. Go for it. Man, no freeways, no crowds. No 95-degree weather. Had to be 74 degrees, right? Absolutely awesome. Don't you wish it could have stopped? But that's not what happened. The Bible tells us, as we read a moment ago, and I hope this makes sense to you. I'm at a handicap in trying to make this clear. Genesis 3, look at verses 7 and 8 in your Bibles. According to the Bible, which I'm going to assume there's somebody in here that doubts, listen to me carefully as I read the word. Genesis 3, verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open. The word implies not a good thing. Somebody might say, oh, I believe in having an open mind. Well, I understand what you're saying, I think. Just remember this, if your mind is too open, everything will fall into it. Everything. Nobody eats out of a garbage disposal. And if you open up your mind too much, you just might take in everything. Well, that's what I am. I'm very Pauly-like in all things. Well, you're going to grow up to be messed up. Watch out. Be discerning. Be thinking. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. I've shared with you before that the ancient rabbis taught Genesis that Adam and Eve, before they fell, they were clothed in light. I do believe that, by the way. I believe 1 John backs that up in the Bible. They were clothed in light. Whatever they did, they disobeyed God. They partook of, by the way, when did they actually become, listen carefully, technical theological question. When did they actually become sinners? At the moment they bit the fruit? Or what? Some of you're shaking your heads, no. Let me put it to you this way. Does a horse thief become a horse thief when he steals the horse? Or does he steal the horse because he's a horse thief? Because he's a horse thief, he steals the horse. Adam and Eve sinned before they bit the apple. Or apple. Yeah, I have an Apple computer. That's what it was. Definitely an apple. Before they bit the fruit, they had already sinned when they decided this is what we're going to do. Are you with me? That's why Jesus later says, if you've not had physical adultery with a woman that you've lusted after, if you've thought about that in your heart, you're already guilty of adultery. Why? Because God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And you might say, well, I don't believe in God. But you already know that's true what I just said, don't you? You know that if you're thinking a thought about your neighbor's wife and you're having these imagination and these lustful thoughts, you know it's wrong. Though nobody else knows. Well, I didn't do anything. Have you heard somebody say, you know, look but don't touch? You know why people say that? Because they know it's wrong. Did you know that? They're the ones admitting that it's wrong. But they've drawn a line of goodness. There's a standard to them. Jesus says, no, 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 no. To God who knows and sees everything, he looks at the intent of the heart. He looks at the imaginations of your heart. And God determines guilt. Right from the beginning.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That You Were Good? Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you truly come to repentance knowing only God is good. Who Told You That You Were Good is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, goodness, and restoration. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.